Hugh and Dwayne, it's well, great to have you with me. Great to have Sam Edmund, well, not with me, but he's at least with me in spirit and with me in being on air, even if he's at home as well. Sam Edmund, SEN's chief reporter for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now. Welcome to you, Sam. Thanks for joining me again.
Great to be with you, Dwayne. Yes, back here in the bunker for another edition. Loved your chat with Matty Keenan yesterday. I've got myself rather hooked on Zwift at the moment as well. I think you got Matty back up again today. So I'm not for sure he could record some commentary just to give me a spur along for later on the arvo.
I'll ask him to do that. I was going to commentate myself eating an apple last night for a while. So the strange things that are popping up on the internet at the moment. I hope you enjoyed my drown him in honey video yesterday.
Well, that was a polarizing move, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of people say you don't have honey on your blueberries. So, you know, if I've made that mistake and offended blueberry eaters around the world with my pouring of honey excessively on them, I apologize. I've got watermelon today. What have you got?
Speaking of polarising, not just honey on your berries, but I wonder what you thought of the Patrick Dangerfield interview. I thought you nailed it earlier. I mean, Danger, for anyone who's come into contact with him or met him, he's a good person, got a good heart, generous, but some of the language he used earlier with Jared really did rub people up the wrong way. And we know this was always going to be a tough one PR-wise for the players, but I think when he said the players were hunting more certainty on where the season's going and what the finances look like, he could just picture the people at home screaming, you know, newsflash, no one has that info. It's the players are looking for certainty in a time of unprecedented uncertainty, aren't they? So,
yeah,
still no movement on this either, by the way, Dwayne. Paul Marsh and Gil and McLaughlin in constant dialogue on this as we speak. As I mentioned, the PA are seeking a bit more info to guide where they go next. Now, the AFL wants certainty over the coming months, and the players want to play their role in that, but they also want to maintain some flexibility given we're just completely uncertain where things are going to go after 8 weeks beyond that May 31 tentative deadline of resumption, which is probably hugely unlikely, isn't it? So we wait to see what we think. We know that both parties are frustrated with each other, Dwayne. The AFL executive and their 20% has angered some of the players given the inequality of the proposed cuts. And there's some sympathy for the players too, given that I reckon about a third of them are on maybe 85 to 100 grand plus those match payments. So if you're going 50% of that in an ongoing format, that's, you know, 40 to 50,000 a year, and it starts to look real. But you've only got to look at the lines at Centrelink, Jared, and this is where people argue that the AFL players are out of touch with what's happening in society.
Yeah, and the Prime Minister actually said it last night in his address about the choice of language that journalists use, the choice of language that that Patrick Dangerfield uses as well. Because you can, there was a question to the Prime Minister last night whether total shutdown is inevitable, and inevitable was too strong a word that, you know, he didn't want to actually use that word. It is difficult to thump the table at this time. And as I mentioned, down the track, there'll be a point where, you know, they say, okay, well, we're thumping the table because we don't accept 75% or 73%. But, hey, we're accepting 67% or whatever. And everyone will say, okay, that's fair enough. We'll move on. But we don't know. There's a lot big difference between getting a 17-round season or a 14-round season away this year and not having a season at all. I mean, if we don't have a season at all, that would be close to disaster.
Absolutely. And I think we'll get there. And I mean, Dangerfield, Paddy Dangerfield saying, and all the players throughout the morning, Todd Goldstein, you know, and Tommy Rockliffe with you, just judge the decision when the decision is reached or the agreement is reached at the end of it rather than the ongoing dialogue. And maybe that's fair enough. And if the players have, for their part, and it's difficult to blame them, they do live in a unique bubble. If they've been a bit slow on the uptake as to the gravity of this situation, well, all that will be forgotten if in the end they make the decision that's right for the game to survive and right for sport to prosper going forward, whatever that looks like in the coming years. Dwayne, I think we're all reaching for little rays of sunshine amidst the rubble, loving what an increasing number of clubs are doing at the moment, and the AFL doing it too, and that is they're reaching out to their key corporate partners, their sponsors, in a bid to keep their stood-down staff employed. So it's a re-employment strategy for a lot of clubs. Carlton's involved, Brisbane's involved, the AFL and other clubs as well, where as we know, they've had to cut some 80% of staff. So they're looking to reintegrate that staff into the workforce, and they're leaning on some of the sponsors, the loyal ones that have hung with them anyway, to get them some work, whether it be permanent or just over this 2, 3, 4 month period, whatever it might be.
Yep, fair call. The Olympics officially off, as we've heard, but a bit more clarification on the qualifying today.
Yeah, this coming from the AOC Chief Executive, Matt Carroll. He dropped the news that qualifying, if you have been fortunate as an athlete to already have qualified for Tokyo 2020, you won't have to re-qualify for 2021. Common sense, you'd think, but reassuring nonetheless for all those athletes, Dwayne, just given the massive cloud of uncertainty over the games that they have had in recent weeks, that they're in and they will stay in.
Yeah, which is interesting, because if there is a young person coming through that might now be able to challenge, or someone who was injured and couldn't challenge previously, that might be able to put together, you know, a pretty spectacular time in December, now doesn't get the opportunity to qualify for an event because that person's already qualified and will be going ahead of them. Even if they put in a time in December, that would have beaten the qualification time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just back to the AFL, you know, speaking of the uncertainty of Olympic athletes, all the uncertainty around AFL athletes now have headed back to their respective homes or parents' homes or country retreats or wherever they've gone. We might just have to do some digging, Dwayne, on some unique training techniques. I've seen some bizarre things in the last 24 hours. Marathon runners on Paris balconies doing 3,000 laps of a, you know, 4-metre balcony, 7-metre balcony. I just want to see what these players are doing. I've seen stationary bikes out on the farm paddocks and all sorts of things.
All right. Well, we'll keep giving you the opportunity to throw a few options our way to look at video-wise when we get a spare moment. We're all scrolling through our phones looking for some funny stuff. There's been some good funny stuff, so I love the funny stuff. Just break some monotony of the sad stuff. Great to have you on, Sam. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. I look forward to checking in with your culinary offerings later on as well.
Sam Edmund for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now. IllusionFires.com. A break, more of your calls. And still to come, David Davidovic. And we will check in with Matt Keenan, who is in isolation. And Sarah Jones as well, granddaughter of Jack Jones, who's passed. And Fox Footy presenter, she's going to have a chat to me. Plenty still to come on Dwayne's World.